give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night show. And it is Bible teaching. We have Bible teaching tonight, and I'm glad that everyone that can make it is here. Actually, this is kind of in reverse because usually on Tuesday night, I teach Bible. And then Wednesday night, I go to the church and take what I've refined here, there. But it didn't work out this week. So I refined it Wednesday before I went to church. And now you'll get the refinement. So I hope you're blessed by this teaching of the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at what happens in the midst of what the terminology would be from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, the midst of the week. And I will explain that, what that means as we get into the Bible teaching. So I just want to say hello to everyone here. And hang on. Okay. So we have Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes. Good evening, Chaplain John. I'm just been praying that everything's been going well with you and Nancy.
Well, I have to say, I'm going to call it a minor miracle from the Lord. She really had no pain today. I'll call it slight discomfort. But from the way she was, and I think it's an answer to prayer. And she was able to get around pretty good today. So it's quite a, as I look at it, it's quite a little miracle that God has done here to relieve her of that pain.
Amen.
And then we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Greetings. Greetings, Chaplain and all.
Now, I hear that your telephone is sick. Is that true?
Well, it is. I have my old one out of cold storage and my sick one's in the hospital right now, so it'll be well Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You could not text that it was sick, that your cell phone was sick.
It was indeed. And I tell you, you just don't realize your whole ecosystem is wrapped up in a phone. It had my alarms, it had my phone numbers, it had, you know, things I pay bills with, due dates, and it's just, you know, a compilation of all my life.
Well, don't forget, you're my go-between with Michael.
Well, I haven't heard much from him, too, but he won't even know that I've been under the weather with my phone, because I'm back to square one with the old one that's been brought back into duty.
Okay.
I do want to say something just real quick about how I was to blame for it. It dropped, but if I had yielded to that little unction to do something a different way, it would have never happened. Never. But at the same time, I'm claiming something good is going to come out of whatever. So that's...
Okay. And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. And I'm so glad to hear that Nancy is doing as well as she is doing. And all the praise goes to the Lord God.
Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, in fact, I have the CT scan here. They gave me I got it right here. I'm going to take it with me next Thursday to the orthopedic surgeon. And it, it showed that it had the cracked hip, you know, which we look at it as painful, but the Lord was today was a very good day for her.
Good.
All right. And then is this Gigi and Randy?
Yes, and we are also thrilled to hear about the news.
Thank you.
We will keep praying. We will keep praying.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Speaking of praying, let me pray. Father, we are before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for, Lord, I want to thank you for that blessing of, she was virtually free from pain today, which is really amazing, Lord. So thank you, Lord. And Lord, for the teaching tonight, it's the midst of the week, Lord, the 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Huge things are happening, Lord, and that's what we want to bring out. Understanding what happens at the 3.5 year period really is the key to understanding the application of the book of Revelation. So I thank you for this, Lord. I ask for a time tonight. Whatever I do is always under the blood of the blessed. Would you be at our Jesus name? Amen. 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 Want to remember that there's a blessing clearly said in the scriptures for reading and hearing of the book of Revelation, and I would assume that that means teaching and preaching it. So also, so Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So my teaching in the book of Revelation has never been like line upon line and analyzing every sentence, every word. Now, I know that there are a lot of teachings that do that. Mine is more of highlights and showing the big picture of what's happening in the book of Revelation. So, and how it flows. And you're going to see how it flows tonight in a big way with the midst of the week, as Daniel 9:27 says. That's in the week. I'll explain the week, what week means here. And always remember that the key to really understanding the book of Revelation is Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, which is the sixth seal, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's most important, because the fact that the sixth seal is his coming changes everything that follows. It forces you to realized that the sixth seal is his coming. So the first six seals are really a summation, an overview of the book of Revelation. And that is most important. Okay, with this now, let's get into what week means. Week means weeks of years. Therefore, 1 week equals, well, that should be 7 years. Now, the book of Daniel is the foundation for much of Revelation. This teaching tonight really comes right out of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And then the book of Revelation sits on top of that that chapter in the prophet Daniel. So I want to just go back on the word week. The word week, W-E-E-K, in Hebrew means seven. And it's translated week because the 7 days in a week, seven. So you got to look at the context, because week can mean literally a week, 7 days. So you need to look at the context. And the context of the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel is that 1 week means 7 years, 7 years. So Daniel's prophecy, the main prophecy, is for 70 weeks or 490 years. Christ comes at the end of 69 weeks or 483 years when the prophecy started. The prophecy started in 455 BC with the Persian king and a decree he made to restore Jerusalem. And when you go forward with those years, it comes out to be 32, the spring of 32 AD. And it's when the Lord presented himself through Israel as the Messiah. It's not when he died on the cross. It's when he officially declared himself to be the Messiah. We often refer to that as Palm Sunday. So what we know as Palm Sunday is the fulfillment of that prophecy, when the Messiah would make his revelation to Israel that he was the Messiah. But what happened was Christ comes at the end of 69 weeks, and then the prophecy goes to say that after he is revealed, it doesn't say how long. It doesn't say a year, 5 years, 10 years. It doesn't say a month. It doesn't say anything like that. So the time for this prophecy stops when the Lord reveals himself. And then this gap starts between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. So we know that the Lord was crucified like a week after he revealed himself. And then it talks in that prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And according to history, we know that that occurred in 70 AD, approximately 37 years after the Lord died on the cross. So there's a gap right there. There's a gap between the end of the 69th week with Christ's appearing and then the beginning of the 70th week. So let's go over now. And I want to read Daniel 9:27, and then I'll explain it, because it's just Daniel 9:27 isn't kind of clear, but I will explain it to you what's going on here. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. even till the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now, it sounds kind of confusing, so let me straighten it out here. And he, now the word he here is a pronoun, and it goes back to verse 26. And verse 26 talks about the prince that shall come. And it's a Roman prince that's coming from, because Rome destroyed the city and the sanctuary in Daniel 9:26. So he means the prince to come shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he's going to confirm the covenant with Israel for 1 week. That's 7 years. So this here, again, this is in the future. We, in fact, it's not been fulfilled yet. It's in our future. It's getting very close, but it has never been fulfilled. And it says in the midst of the week, that's in the midst of 7 years, which is 3.5 years. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, this tells us a lot of information, this little sentence here. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That means that sometime in the future, Israel is going to be back in the nation. Israel will be a nation again. And they're going to be performing the law of Moses again. Because the sacrifice and the oblation is a bloodless sacrifice, means that they're performing the law of Moses. And to perform sacrifice, you must have the temple, because that's the only place under the law the Jews can sacrifice. So at some time in the future, the temple has to be built, and they have to be performing the miracles. I mean, the sacrifices. And then we continue, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, there's something happening for a gross abomination taking place. And it says he, now that is, he's often referred to as the Roman prince to come. He's known in the book of Revelation as the beast. In 1 John chapter 2, he's known as the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's known as the man of sin, the son of perdition. All right. So, he shall make it. It is the temple, the rebuilt temple, desolate. Because of what he's doing. So he's going to do something that's going to completely disrupt the sacrificial system and the law of Moses taking place in the temple. And that's when I believe, according to the scriptures, the beast is going to enter into the temple, and he's coming with what the Bible calls the image of the beast, and he's going to set this up in the temple. And this is what Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:15 refers to as the abomination of desolation. And this is going to continue even until the consummation. The consummation is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the consummation. That's the end. Boom. At his return, it all comes to an end. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. The desolate here is the he in that sentence, the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Roman prince to come. So Daniel 9 is sometime in the future, 9:27. It's going to be for a 7-year period of time. And a covenant is being made with this individual and Israel. And then he's going to break it in the midst. And in the midst is when awful things are going to happen. The abomination of desolation. He's going to proclaim that he is God. And all sorts of things are going to happen. So that's what we're looking at now. We're going to look at focusing on the midst of the week, 3.5 years into the 7-year period, which I believe when we look at scriptures and we take Daniel, the prophecy in 927, which remember has never been fulfilled, never. It can be fulfilled in our lifetime because the Jews are back in the land. In fact, this war that's going on right now touching Israel has to do with the Temple Mount. Directly, it has to do with the Temple Mount. So, the Jews are back in the land, which to fulfill Daniel 9:27 has to occur. They speak Hebrew. The battle is right over the Temple Mount where this temple will be built. The one here in Daniel 9:27. So this war is over Jerusalem, but even more than that, it's over the Temple Mount. So what has to occur for this to be fulfilled is Jerusalem has to be freed of the oppression that is in Jerusalem, the Islam oppression. Jerusalem, what's going to happen is, according to the Bible, the prophets, this huge war is going to result in all of the house of Esau being removed off the land. And when that happens, Israel will be free to rebuild the temple. I believe this war is going to head towards a revival of probably two revivals, one turning to Jesus Christ as their Messiah in Israel. The other will be turning back to the law of Moses and coming under the law. And when that happens, then Daniel 9:27 can be fulfilled. So it can't start tomorrow, folks. Daniel 9:27, to fulfill it, cannot happen tomorrow. But it's there. The structure is there. Like no time in history. Until not even 1948, when Israel became a nation. Till 1967, when Jerusalem became the unified capital of Israel, that's when this comes in focus now. Daniel 9:27 starts to come in focus. But it's been basically quiet all those years regarding the prophecy in Daniel 9:27 until 2023, when this war started over Jerusalem. Hamas started this war over Jerusalem. So now we're in the season where this Daniel 9:27 could be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. How far in the future, I don't know. But things can happen so fast, and as we say overnight, that at any time, there could be major, major things happening in Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Those are major players prophetically, that the stage could be set to fulfill Daniel 9:27. Exciting times we live in, folks. The only time that I could see the prophecy was being fulfilled like it is today is going back to when the Lord walked on the earth. That's how awesome we're lining up now with the prophetic word, because we're facing his second coming. Daniel 9:27, the Jews back in the land, Jerusalem's the capital, this battle over the Temple Mount, the temple can be rebuilt, the sacrificial system can begin again. This is living prophetic word like it was when the Lord walked the earth. All right. So now let's go and look at the beginning of the tribulation. When we're looking at chapter 5, and we see the Father God is handing Jesus Christ a scroll, And on the scroll is the revelation, for the revelation of the judgments coming upon the earth for the Lord to reclaim the earth. That scroll is like the title to the earth. But Satan's power and the power of man's sin has to be broken first. So the Lord is handed the scroll in Revelation chapter 5. And then verses 9 through 14 are all, it's like heaven praising, and they're excited because the Lord is moving now to reclaim the earth. So verses 9 through 14, 14 is the last verse. It's all heaven singing and praising right up to the last verse. Now, in order, sequential order, we go to Revelation 8:1. Just to mention here, Revelation 6 is a summation, and Revelation 7 tells us what's happening before the tribulation begins. So Revelation 7 is literally before the tribulation period begins, just prior to it. Revelation 7 is about the call of God's 144,000 servants. So we go to Revelation 8:1, and it's a view now of heaven again. So 8:1 picks up with Revelation 5:4 in sequence. So we get to verse 1, and it says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, I covered this in the last teaching, so I can't really go over in great detail again, but this is the beginning. What Revelation 8:1 and Daniel 9:27 is the same kind. And let me go with verse 1 again. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of 1 hour. And the reason there was silence is because the man of sin, the beast, and then what the events that are happening in Daniel 9:27 are beginning. And there's silence in heaven because Israel is making a covenant with the man of sin, the prince that Daniel talks about, Roman prince, who is wicked. Israel is making the covenant with him, and there's dead silence in heaven as this happens. Because this covenant, doing this, is going to unleash the tribulation upon the earth. Awesome events, folks. The tribulation 7-year period that Daniel writes about, that big gap from the end of the Lord Jesus revealing himself as Israel's Messiah to the beginning of Revelation, to the beginning of that 7-year time period, and the beginning in the book of Revelation giving great detail to what's going to happen, starts right now. So in effect, it's like 2,000 plus years gap between the end of Revelation, the end of the 69th year, when the Lord reveals himself to Israel, and the beginning of Daniel 9:27. That gap right now is about, I should figure it out. It's roughly 24 years. No, because we got to take 33 years for his birth. So it's roughly 2,000 years, roughly. So we've got the starting point now in the book of Revelation. It's Revelation 8:1. Now, verse 2, 3, and 4 is all what's happening in heaven for the preparation of the tribulation period. Now that Israel has made this covenant, which the Old Testament refers to as death and hell. That's found in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 and 18. So Israel finishes the covenant with the beast. And now we go to verse 5, Revelation 8, 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What I wanted to just add to this, which verse 5 doesn't say, but verse 4 talks about this censer being filled with the prayers of the saints. And in it, and it's on the altar before the throne. So God is there. God is watching all this. And when the hot coals are put into the golden censer, it's like big smoke starts coming out, and it permeates all of God's throne there in heaven, and then it's thrown to the earth. When that golden censer hits the earth, it causes an earthquake, and I imagine that it's a substantial earthquake. It's not like the great earthquakes the book of Revelation talks about, where mountains disappear and the islands are gone and all the cities come down. But I would say this is something like maybe like an 8.0 on the Richter scale, some maybe 7.0, because they're real powerful too. But it's something to get the world's attention, coinciding exactly with this covenant being signed. I assume that it would be in Israel, to be very close, right there where they're signing it. But also their voices, thunderings, and lightnings. I think that occurs at the same time. This isn't going to be just a normal theological earthquake. This is going to be supernatural. And there might be a huge lightning storm associated with it and thundering. And there are going to be voices from heaven maybe saying, repent, turn to Jesus Christ. So this now is the beginning of the ministry of two of God's servants in the tribulation period. Now, the first is two prophets. It's the two prophets of God, which we're going to be looking at. And the second are the 144,000 Jews that have been selected to be great evangelists during the first 3.5 years. So God's ministry on earth will be the two prophets and the 144,000. And you'll see where they minister for both of them, 144,000 and the two prophets, minister exactly for 3.5 years of the 7-year period. They don't go to the full time. And I'll explain it when we get there. You'll see why they don't go. They're not there for the 7 years. Their ministry is only 3.5 years. All right, so now let's look at the midst of the week. Now, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 11. And actually, let me go to my Bible, because I want to read verse 1. I have to open the Bible. I don't know what happened. Crazy stuff. All right, so I'm at Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is of without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they thread underfoot 42 months. Now, 42 months is 3.5 years. And then we go to verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, 1,260 days is 3.5 years. So Revelation chapter 11 is identifying the 3.5 years in months and in days, both of them adding up to 3.5 years. So this now matches what Daniel is saying, that something in this prophecy of the last 7 years, is going to happen midway through at 3.5 years. So here it is identified right now as we're looking at it. So I will give power to my two witnesses. Those are the, and they shall prophesy. They're prophets. Okay, hang on, please. Here we go. And then we're going to follow down, not line by line, but, I'm sorry. I'm showing you all the scriptures for counting time here in the tribulation period. Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Revelation 13 is about the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, and someone who the Bible identifies as the false prophet. So Revelation 13 here is telling us about the reign of the beast, and it's going to be for 42 months, 3.5 years. So when does his reign start? Mid-tribulation. When does the ministry of God's two prophets end? Mid-tribulation, 3.5 years. When does the prophecy, and you'll see, about the ministry of the 144,000 coming to an end? 3.5 years. So all this is converging at the midst of the week. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And this is the end time about the believers there in the nation of Israel. Revelation 12:14. And the woman, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. All right, these series of scriptures give us the picture now during the tribulation period of really. Yeah, 3.5 years, which is critically important. So let me go over this. The Bible shows that the 3.5 year period of time is 1,260 days. It is also counted as 42 months, which is 3.5 years. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. And then it's identified as time and times and half a time. Time is a year, times is 2 years, and a half a year is a half a year. So you add that up, it's 3.5 years. So the book of Revelation is identifying significant things happening right at the midpoint of time in there, which is 3.5 years. So what Daniel talks about, something dramatic happening after Israel makes this covenant, 3.5 years into the covenant, the book of Revelation is also documenting significant things, and I've mentioned some already, that are going to happen 3.5 years into the what the Bible calls the tribulation period. In addition to what Daniel says is going to happen. All right, we're getting deeper into the midst of the week. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 11. And I also want to give a little little look at the structure of these first three verses. But going back to it, Revelation 11:1, and there was given me a reed like a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But to the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, when I roll into here, verse 3, notice it begins with and. I mean, we don't start sentences with the word and unless it's connected with what preceded it. So if it wasn't connected, it would read Revelation 11:3, I will give power unto my two witnesses. But here it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. So the word end connects it with the verse and actually the two verses before it. So when we look at this in context, I will give power to my two witnesses and they shall prophesy 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. The center of the prophecy of the two witnesses is the temple, because all three verses are together. So I don't think in this, these two witnesses are going to leave Jerusalem. I think they're going to be centered in Jerusalem, and they're going to be centered at the temple. Their ministry is going to be understood worldwide, because later on, in the chapter, it indicates that. Or at least they're going to be known worldwide. Are they going to be known to Israel? And they are going to be preaching and showing that the entire temple system is related to Jesus Christ, their Messiah. That's what they're going to be doing. They are going to be witnesses. 11:3 says, and my two witnesses, they shall prophesy. So they are going to declare the word of God to the Jews in Jerusalem and in the temple. That changes things, folks. I've never seen this till fairly recently. And I will give the word end. It has to tie back to the verses in front. So there's a direct connection between God's two witnesses and the temple worship, the temple structure, you know. Exciting, folks. And it says they're going to be clothed in sackcloth. That means they're going to be very, very humble and repentant. Clothed in sackcloth is a Old Testament term for someone that is very repentant and very humble before God. So they put on sackcloth and ashes, which is a symbol of their repentance and humbleness. So they're going to be camped out, folks, in Jerusalem, along the Temple Mount, and they are going to be a witness for 3.5 years, because that's what it says. It says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So we go back. From this period, we go in reverse, and where does it take us to? It takes us to Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 5, when that golden censer with the prayers of the saints hits the earth. That begins the countdown. From 3.5 years forward from that earthquake, and the golden censer takes us right here to Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, well, the whole chapter, really, but right here to verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, when we go on with this, this is when their ministry ends, because the Bible tells us. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So that right here where we're looking at now, the 3.5 years, is when their ministry ends. God's going to allot them 3.5 years to be his witness on earth, along with the 144,000. I'll talk about them later. The 144,000 begin at the same time, the exact time as the two prophets, and they end at the exact time as the two prophets. Now, they're going to be killed, and I want to add something here. It says the beast that'll ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, when we look at the book of Revelation, the chapter that focuses mostly, or the beast is revealed with the most detail, is Revelation chapter 13. That is the beast chapter. And in that, it talks about the beast being killed with a deadly wound, a head wound. So apparently what happens is that he ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. So when he died from the head wound, he went to the bottomless pit. But then it is a form of resurrection. And it says, and shall make war against them, the two prophets, and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, God has obviously allowed this. And one of the reasons he's allowing it, because it's going to be a face-off between the alleged resurrection of the beast and Jesus Christ and his ministry and the message that was given by the two prophets and the 144,000. So right at the mid-tribulation period, right at it, the beast is allowed to kill God's two prophets. Now, this has major implications, because these two prophets have tormented those that live on earth. They have called all sorts of disasters and plagues upon the earth. They had authority to do this. And the world knows it, and the world hates them for it. So let's look at verse 11. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So the Lord resurrects them right in the view. They're laying where they were killed. They've been there for 3.5 years. And the Lord, the people are allowed to see this, or they can see it. It's physical. And then after 3.5 years, he raises them from the dead publicly. It can be seen. It's going to be reported worldwide. So you've got two visual resurrections, one of God and one of Satan. Plus, we have the account in the scriptures of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is going to end up as a choice, because at this time, right as I'm speaking, the power is all going to be transferred to the beast. He is going to have full power. The problem that I have right now is there's so much information, and I'm trying to put it in an order where it's easily understood, because I'm going to talk about the beast coming to power, but that has to be led into, you know, I have to tie it together with this. But eventually everything will get tied together. But here, when the end, right as the end of the ministry of the two prophets, exactly 3.5 years, the beast is resurrected, because it says he ascended out of the bottom of the pit. He kills the two of them. And then we're going to see where the whore of Babylon, which is the religious system during this time, has butchered untold numbers of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The beast and his political system kill the whore. The religious system is killed. It's destroyed. And all power has been given to the beast. It happens exactly at the time we're talking right now, 3.5 years. So it's all these huge events in the Bible, they're all converging now at 3.5 years. And this is what I'm talking about with what the Bible calls in Revelation 17, the whore of Babylon. That is the religious system that'll be in place for the first 3.5 years. It's called a whore because the world is committing spiritual fornication and probably very active physical fornication that always goes along with paganism. So they are, the whore of Babylon will be every religious system you could think of outside of the true one of Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, who shed his blood, died and shed his blood on the cross, and bodily rose from the dead. They will not accept that. Everything else is going to be under the whore. Everything. And it says that the whore rides the beast. And the beast at that point is the political system on earth. So the political system and the spiritual system are one, but it's like the spiritual system is in charge. It's like at this period of time, it's in charge. But God puts it in the hearts of the political system to completely destroy the religious system at this exact time. All of this is going on right at the mid-tribulation, the midst of the week. So let's look at what happens to the religious system now. Revelation 17, 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. These are the 10 kingdoms. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. So what happens here? The political system rises up and it completely destroys the religious system. Verse 17 again. These shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Why are they doing this? For God had put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Now, put it in their hearts, that's the 10 kings, to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. See, everything is being, the religious system is gone now. The political system is giving its power to the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's when all, any connection with the beast is completely destroyed. There'll be nothing left on earth for the beast system. So when does this happen? This happens right at mid-tribulation, because we know, look at Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? No one, because all opposition on earth is gone. all power has been put in him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. So the destruction of the Whore of Babylon and the beginning of the power of the beast, of the Antichrist, coincide exactly at mid-tribulation. It's incredible, folks. Huge events are occurring right at mid-tribulation. So what's reported in Daniel chapter 9 is only the tip of the iceberg as we look in Revelation, where these divisions, like what happened in Daniel 9:27, huge things are happening here in the book of Revelation. Satan cast down to the earth, Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angel. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he is going to be physically here on earth, and the angels that fell. That's not going to be good for those on the earth, folks. In verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. The woman is Israel, the man child is Jesus Christ. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she should fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished. Now look at this. For a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. So the Satan is going to persecute the woman here for 3.5 years. He's cast down onto the earth. When does that happen? Mid-tribulation, 3.5 years. He turns onto the against the woman. There's 3.5 years left until the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what we know now from looking at when this is occurring. So when is Satan cast out of heaven? 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Another huge event, folks, taking place at this time. All right, the great divide, midst of the week. Now, the first 3.5 years, the witnesses, the two prophets, that's Revelation 11:3, the 144,000 servants, Revelation 7:3. The results, Revelation 6:9, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So the fifth seal, all of the people there that are under the altar, they come from the ministry of the 144,000. Now, that may not be true. There may be some there from the ministry of the two prophets also. So let's put it this way. Let me put it this way. Revelation 6:9, with those that are under the altar, they're the fifth seal, come from the ministry of the two prophets and the 144,000 servants. We go to Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So notice, Revelation 7:9, this great multitude follows God's call of the 144,000. And it says it's a huge number, which no man could number, a great multitude, which no man could number. So at the beginning of the tribulation, as we go by today's population, and I'm just guessing now how this will play out, but right now we have over 8 billion people on Earth. I think it's 8.3 billion. So let's just say that the tribulation starts with 8 billion on the Earth. And during that 3.5 years, the 144,000 and the two prophets win 1 billion people. That would be the multitude, which couldn't be numbered. You know, they win 500 million. That's how I think that fits in here. So it's very possible that, you know, a huge number, like 1 billion would be 1/8. A huge number has come to the Lord, but 7/8 don't. That's what I think is going to happen in this, that there's going to be some gigantic, because the Bible tells us, a great number which no man could number. They're coming out of the first 3.5 years. They're going to be killed, and their blood is going to be shed by the whore of Babylon, the religious system. And it says in Revelation 13:6, and it talks about the whore being drunk with the blood of the martyrs and with the blood of the saints. And those are the ones that are under the altar until it says the time should be full. And the time when it ends is 3.5 years into the tribulation period. And those people, these people are taken out from the altar and they're put before the crystal sea of glass and the throne of God. And again, this is results, which I think I've doubled up. Let me check this. Yes, I doubled this up by mistake. Now, the location of the believers, the first 3.5 years, which I mentioned already, they are under the altar. For the first 3.5 years, they are under the altar. But then after the 3.5 years, that's when we see him, these people here in Revelation 7:9. Okay, the second 3.5 years, the witnesses, zero. There's no record of any witness during the second 3.5 years. Let me stop here for a second. Hold on. Okay, Sister Sharon.
Yes.
I've covered a lot of territory here tonight. Do you think it's time to stop and let this be absorbed?
Yes. I think that might be a wise decision. There is just so much to absorb with this, at, you know, for everything at the 3.5 year mark. That's a lot to absorb.
Right, right. And I was kind of getting the feeling to stop. All right, because... Right. But you could, if you don't absorb it all right now, in fact, I may go over it again next week.
Oh, yeah. And plus, we got the tape. We can re-listen to it and maybe find out where we need to ask questions.
But, right. But from tonight, Sister Sharon, the information I put out in the Word, you're able to see, maybe not understand it all, but you can see how what's taking place at 3.5 years into the tribulation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. An awful lot. And like you say, we can hear it and we can see it, but I'm not able to totally absorb it.
Right, right. All right, okay. So we'll look to pick this up probably next.
Okay.
Well, it'll probably be next Thursday, because next Tuesday I'm going to have a separate teaching for the church, so I'd like to go over it with you first. And we have Sister Holly in here. Hello, Holly.
Hi, Chaplain John. It's good to be with you tonight.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice.
I enjoyed the teaching. It was a lot, but it's good to hear. And we had a lot of buffering tonight, a lot of just had to come in the room to listen. So.
Yes, I saw. In fact, right now I'm in the red. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to stop also. It was buffering, you know, in and out, and it's solid red now. So I figured that it wasn't broadcasting too well. So I think it's a good time to stop. Yeah. Well, anyways, it's good that you came. And do you have any questions, Sister Holly?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right.
This is interesting, and I'm thankful for it. Thank you.
All right. And then we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Kathy.
Yeah, and Twizzle said Facebook crashed too, so there won't be any watching it. You know, it won't have copied.
Let me take a look here. Well, it says I'm streaming, so if there's something going on, it's on the other end.
Well, I mean, no matter, there's not going to be a recording of it.
Right. Right. I don't know how Rumble is doing. I don't know.
Well, she said Rumble is bumbling tonight, and she went to Facebook, and it's messed up. And there's just a green screen on
Rumble. Rumble screen went black, but it was showing all the stuff that you were putting up, Chaplain John, the verses and all that stuff. So we were able to, you know, kind of see that while you were talking about it. So,
Sister Kathy and Sharon and everyone else, we can see kind of the battle getting this information out. This is
right.
It's not everyday battle, but it's quite often that there's problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We have Gigi and Randy here. Hello, Gigi and Randy.
Yes, we are here, and we don't really have any questions.
I do. John?
Oh, I didn't know.
John, I'm not positive, but I think that when you talked about the two witnesses, you said they laid in the street for 3.5 years.
You meant to say days,
I think. But I think in there, 22 said years.
No, that was days. Thank you for picking that up. It was 3.5 days.
Yeah, you did say that. I do agree with Randy.
All right. Well, I have to admit I was wrong. It's very hard for me to admit it, but I was wrong.
Well, you don't have to do it very often, so you have to admit that it's rare.
Wait a second. I deny it because there's no record of it.
Now, wait a minute. We can probably go back here on Rumble and check that out.
I have a comment about that. In the mouth of two or three witnesses.
John?
Right.
John? John, if it's any consolation, I know what you meant to say.
Okay. All right.
I think we all did,
All right.
Thank you.
But I love the way it's not confused. Well, it's like confusing to you now somewhat because so much is happening. It takes time to absorb everything that's happening. But once you understand it and you're absorbing it, the Book of Revelation, it fits. It's not confusing at all. There's still some, Revelation 9 is a little hard, parts are a little hard, and there's some other parts that are a little hard still. But the big picture of the Book of Revelation, it's not confusing when you understand the structure of it. And what's going on the first 3.5 years? What's going on mid-tribulation? And what's going on the second 3.5 years? It all fits together very, very nice. So you understand the structure. The first 3.5 years, mid-tribulation, the second 3.5 years. And then after the second 3.5 years, you've got like Revelation 20, 21, and 22. But the main part is from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb and Christ coming. So that's what I wanted everybody to grasp, those structures, and then everything fits within those structures.
Right.
So right now, it's the first 3.5 years and the mid tribulation, the events happening during that period of time. So to me, it's not confusing anymore. I know the structure of it. First 3.5 years, mid tribulation, second 3.5 years, then everything fits within that.
I think it's very clear, John.
Good. You made me happy.
Okay. I think it's very clear. And as I have said in the past, I like it when you walk through slowly.
Okay. And we got the final authority here on this, and that's Rita. Mr. Rita.
Oh, so I'm the final authority. I have no questions, and the teaching was very good, and I was blessed by it. And
good.
I think I understand most of it. But there is a lot of info.
Yes, and that's why I felt it was important to stop.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea, too.
What I may do next week, I may take like kind of the two prophets, and you understand that that's mid-tribulation. So we'll take the two prophets, their ministry, and the 3.5 years, and maybe do like a full teaching on that. And the next week, we'll do the beast and what's happening in mid-tribulation. And we'll tie it all in with Revelation 13 and also Daniel chapter 7. There is a big link there with Revelation chapter 13. So you understand now the big picture of the outline of the book of Revelation. So now we can fill in. We can fill in. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So I'm happy. I'm happy. We can have some, what we usually do. If anybody has a testimony, I'm always open to testimony. I want to share testimony. I have a testimony to share. But anyone can share a testimony. You're all open to come and pray. And then, of course, we do like music in this ministry and open to godly music. So today I was talking to my daughter-in-law. And remember yesterday I told you that the man, it was really strange the way it happened. He stopped at my house. Turns out he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
He just disappeared. So I talked to her because he was at her house before my house. And she was very curious about what happened at my house and also about the way he disappeared. So she was very happy that I had a very – through the years, the Jehovah's Witnesses that I've encountered, they want you to take their – literature, which is called the Watchtower,
right?
But they'll never take your literature, at least the ones that I encountered. But he did take the Broken Hearted brochure, and I also gave him the Blessed Hope brochure. He did take it, which was very surprising by me, but he did take it. So she, my daughter-in-law, was well aware of that tremendous clap of thunder and bolt of lightning that hit at the same time. It knocked the power off briefly in the whole area, but it came back. And that happened while I was talking to him. And we were outside, but we were under the cover of the house outside, so we weren't sitting out in the storm. And that he didn't want to stay anymore after that close of thunder. And he said, I got to go. And I said, well, what about this thunderstorm? He goes, I live by faith. I said, really? I said, that's very good. So I said, you came here by faith to my house. He said, yes. I said, well, faith took you here and you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you heard that he is Jehovah God in the flesh and that I have assurance of eternal life because of that. And you don't have assurance of eternal life. So God had you come here to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And he stood there looking at me. And then he looked at his phone. He wanted to check the weather. And then he said, the rain is letting up. I've got to go. So he walked down to my driveway. And he got in the driveway and he started to run. He had this little umbrella. It was a little umbrella. And my daughter-in-law saw this also from her house. And he got to like we live in a cul-de-sac, and he got to the beginning of the cul-de-sac, and pouring rain came, and he started to run, and I blinked and couldn't see him anymore. So she said the same thing today. She was telling me about her encounter with him, and she was very interested what happened with me. And she said, I was watching him and the rains came and he started to run and then he just disappeared. So, Sister Kathy, what do you think of that?
Well, it was definitely an anomaly because they only travel two by two. They don't go by one.
I forgot that. Yes, mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
He could have had a car down at the end of the block. And as far as I know, there was no car by where I lived. Mm-hmm. But she said he disappeared out of her sight. And I said the same thing. He was gone. He just, all of a sudden, he was just gone.
Disappeared. And she that is say, just so interesting.
Yeah, she did say, which was really strange. I said, yeah, he was, I hate to say, not of this world, but. Oh, and I said to her, he must have shook my hand 10 times. And she said, yeah, he wanted to shake my hand the whole time, too.
That is really weird.
I said, high five. He said, yeah, he wanted to give me high five.
She said, but I had
enough of it. She said, after two or three handshakes and a high five, that was enough.
Yeah.
So she said he came over to your place then.
But he did have the watchtower and all that? Or
no,
he didn't
offer me the watch. Well, what he did was he offered magazines mm-hmm. that were plastic covering. Not the whole magazine, but a shrunken down version of the cover. And they were all like the watchtower. So I told him I don't read my. At that point, I didn't know. I didn't know it was a watchtower. But I said to him, I really don't read magazines anymore. I said, I'm online. So if you hear a strange noise, it's my dog, Danny. He's here to my left, and he's very frustrated because normally Nancy takes him for a walk and plays with some toys with him. And he's starving for toys. So. He's got a toy and he's squeaking it. I don't know if you can hear it. Here, let me squeak it. Ow, he bit my hand. Can you hear it?
No.
Here's his toy.
There you go. Heard that.
Yeah. It's a dog. He's going crazy. You should see him. Oh, my goodness.
But you do have his treat. You were able to give the treat to him.
No. Now, here's what happened. I'm going to show you the whole story here. I hold nothing back in this ministry. Here's his bag that we put the treats in. It's empty.
Oh, he is beside himself.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
At dinner, we just bought the treats the other day. So I was going to put them in the bag, but I forgot until now. So I'm going to have, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to load up his treat bag, and I keep it here to my right in my desk. And he knows that. Both the dogs know it.
So once
they hear me with treats, they come over to my right and come over to where the drawer is at my desk. All right, so he left now, but he wouldn't leave me alone because he wanted to play. That's funny. All right. So that's what happened yesterday. I mean, strange. Really
for
strange.
For sure.
And that bolt of thunder hit right as he was sitting under the porch of my house with me. What blast that.
That is so right. Really weird.
All right, Sister Sharon, would you, any testimony or lead us in prayer? And then, of course, have your song ready. So if you tell me now what song you'd like, I will get it.
Oh, my goodness. How about the Revelation song?
I love that. Okay.
And, dear Father God, I just thank you for giving us another chance to all get together and to pray and to hear a teaching by Chaplain John and to go through this 3.5 year study and everything. It's just a lot to go with that. It's easy enough if we just look at it as Chaplain John has put it out there for us and just read it and reread it. We can rewatch this video, and I do thank you for that, dear Father God, that we do have the ability to rewatch this video. And dear Father God, I just pray that Chaplain John's dogs are all happy and settled, especially cute little Danny Boy and everything. And because we've been kind of like a part of Danny Boy's life since Chaplain John found him. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that this dog was found by Chaplain because he's just taking wonderful care of this dog. And I just pray, dear Father, that Nancy is doing well and that the dogs aren't too much for her because I know she loves these dogs too. And she likes taking them out and being with them. So, dear Father, I just pray that everything goes well over there at Chaplain John's house and with his son being right next door and everything being fenced in and everything. I just feel more comfortable about everything that has gone on here recently at Chaplain John's house between the weather storms, the trees coming down, the pipelines and stuff and just everything has just gone crazy over at his house lately and stuff. So I just pray, dear Father God, that you have this all under control for him and just to help him through all of this and give us the guidance that we need and what we need to pray to help him get through this too. Because it is important that we do pray for him and for Nancy and just for everybody that's right there, and just to get everything done properly. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that, again, that we could all come together and to pray and to just pray for not only here in the Americas, but around the world. We need to pray for everything that's going on around the world. And I do thank you, dear Father God, for the sermon this morning. Chaplain John was preaching and teaching the Pakistan loved it. Thank you so much for that. And I just want to say thank you for this show. Thank you for Chaplain John and for everything that has gone on. In your name I do pray, amen.
Sister Sharon, you can see the life I lead. I forgot all about this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about at first. I said, what sermon did I preach this morning? What is she talking about? Oh, my goodness.
Right. Well, it's right there for you to rewatch. It's Chaplain John preaching to in Pakistan. It's right there. And I enjoyed watching that this morning when you were doing it, Chaplain John. It was a nice sermon, nice preaching.
Yeah, Thank you. Thank you. And Jamil, I spoke to me later, and he told me that they absolutely loved it. Absolutely. And yeah. He said that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Shannon.
I got the biggest kick out of it when it was getting ready to start. And all the guys up front looked like they were just being tortured. You know how people will sit and be waiting for something to start? And they were acting just like typical people waiting for something to start. And I made a comment in the comments that somebody needed to take a water hose and freshen them up, you know, get them going and stuff. And but it was funny. It was, to me, it was very funny looking at the expressions on their face while they were waiting and stuff. And I enjoyed it.
Well, they were going probably 3 hours when they got to me.
Oh, my goodness.
I was supposed to start my time at 8, and I didn't start till 9. And it was starting on their end at like 5 in the afternoon. So, they were already going for 3 hours when I got to me.
That's a lot, yeah.
But Jamil told me that they, after the show was over, they had tremendous amount of prayer. And he said that there was all sorts of those preachers were confessing that they had broken hearts and their hearts were full of faith.
That's wonderful.
They were being prayed over to be set free from fear. Jamil said it was wonderful. I don't know how many pastors do you think were there, Sharon?
Goodness. That place was packed. It seemed to me like a couple hundred.
I don't think that much. I don't think, but we didn't get to see to the left, how many were to the left.
And how far back.
I would say there was 100 there, you know, at least 100.
Definitely 100. Definitely 100.
Yeah, that's so funny. I completely, totally. You're talking, and I'm saying, what is he talking about preaching this morning? I said, we have prayer time this morning. What are you talking about? And then I went, oh, yeah, I was in Pakistan.
Kathy and I came on and to do our Wednesday morning prayer, and all of a sudden we realized that, no, we weren't, or Thursday morning. I don't even know what day it is. I enjoyed it, and Kathy said she was able to get some things done that she needed to get done, and that's what counts.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so it's there on Rumble. That happened this morning, and I preached live in Pakistan, two preachers. The preachers wanted to hear my teaching on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I taught on this morning in Pakistan.
Yes,
that is so funny. I'm still laughing. Here it is the same day, and I don't remember what I did in the morning.
Where am I? Well, you've been through a lot the last couple of days, we'll let you slide a little bit.
Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Guy Penrod and the Revelation song.
Okay, thank you.
Worthy is the Lamb who Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will for you. Living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all created the King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous name.
Well, if everybody heard it, it's fine. I don't know why we go to full screen. It can't be heard, but...
It was bad. It was bad.
Oh, it was bad.
Just even hearing it, it was just... It's one of those things tonight.
Gonna have to get Nate in on this and see what's happening. All right. Well, then we have Sister Kathy. You're up next.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and hang up because it is just blinking out. So I know it'll do it on the next song. So I'll see y'all in the morning.
God bless you. Yes, you will.
You too, Doc. Thank you. Night.
All right. Randy and Gigi? Yeah, Randy?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We were having a conversation to what was going on. John? Are we praying?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, Randy.
Okay, so we're praying.
You haven't had a banjo song in a long time.
Okay.
Which banjo song is the good gospel tune?
I was going to suggest Mama's Bible, but I don't think that's appropriate.
No, let's not do that. We don't want to create a conflict.
Living on the other side.
Yeah, living on the other side, probably. But okay, I'd like to pray first, though, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And I know I shared this testimony before, and I shared it last night when we were praying together, but I thought I would share it one more time because it's relevant to my praying. And that is, this was some years ago. It was before my mom got and hurt herself, and so I had to take her to the hospital. It was a Friday. And they took a film, and they said that she had broken, I don't remember, her pelvis or something like that. And so I had a Salvadoranian lady who was a very good Christian. She had come to Christ, and she was really, really a prayer warrior. So I called her, and I told her what was going on, and she said, no, no, your mother is not having surgery. They'll kill her, because she was like 92 at the time. And so she said, we have a prayer fellowship Saturday night, and we're going to all pray, and God is going to heal her. So come Monday, they said, oh, there was a problem with the machine. We need to redo it. And they said, oh, there's nothing broken. So obviously God took care of that. He healed her. It's that they redid it and they didn't do the surgery. So this was sometime later, a couple years later, I took her to an orthopedic surgeon, and so he takes x-rays, because my mom had been in a very serious car accident. So he said he wanted to redo some of the films. So I'm sitting in the office with my mom, and he comes in and he flips the x-ray up on the screen, and he says, your mom broke her pelvis. You see this line? But it is completely healed, completely. No issues at all. And he said, when did that happen? And I didn't remember, honestly. And I said, I don't know. I really don't know. And he said, so she never had any intervention? I said, no, you know, because I was thinking about the car accident. I can't explain this, but she's fine. And we left, and I got in the car, and I burst out crying because I realized what had happened, because I didn't know anything, really. And so my mom and I were talking about that. And so I have great faith to pray for broken bones, and especially something like that. So that's why I'm telling you the story. They've already heard this at least once, but that it really, really encouraged me to be able to pray for these things. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, and I thank you, Jesus, and I thank you for that wonderful lady. She knew that it would kill my mom because she was so elderly, and they all prayed, and I bless those people. So, Lord, we just want to lift your name on us, sing praises and honor and glory unto our God, and you are the only wise God. And you are the creator of everything seen and unseen. So there is nothing that is too difficult for you, Lord. And I want to lift up all of the people here. And I pray blessings over them and provision and comfort and protection. And I'm praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. And and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I also want to lift up those pastors and anyone else that was at that meeting this morning. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we want to bless John, and we want to bless Pastor Jamil and all the other workers and how diligent they are, called them to do. And so we want to bless them. We want to bless those people, and that you would strengthen each and every one of them and encourage them, and that they would replicate. They would go out and preach the gospel, and many souls will come to you. And we're praying, and over all the places that our Abba Father Fellowship pastors go, okay, and preach with John and or without John. And so we're praying over each and every one of them, and pray that you would protect them and encourage them, Lord. And we're praying that you would feed them. I know there's a lot of food issues going on. So we're praying that you would feed them and protect them and watch over them. And Lord, we want to lift up Nancy to you. And Lord, you did it for my mom. And so I'm praying that you would heal this in the mighty name of Jesus. You knit her together in her mother's womb. And so that's what we're praying for, Lord. We believe your word when it says that you came so that we might be healed. It's by your stripes we are healed. And so we want to claim that scripture. And I'm praying that over Nancy, and I'm praying that over Sharon in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we have seen so many answered prayers. So keep reminding us so that we would have faith that is full of the power of Christ. And I just want to praise you and thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, here we go with third time out.
Well, goodbye, in that bright land not made with hand is our new home on high. Just beyond the valley of the shadow of death, there's a land of perfect peace and rest,
where the saints
of earth shall live and never die. We'll all be caught up in the air, and then we'll enter that city so fair.
So happy we'll be
when we're living on the other side. It's leading home, it's straight and narrow too. Keep pressing on, keep singing your song, everything will be brand new. Just beyond the valley of the shadow of death, there's a land of perfect peace and rest,
where the saints
of earth shall live and never die.
Though fair, so happy we'll be
eternally free
when we're living on the other side. Few more trials and when our race is run, there's a land of bliss far better than this, so the best is yet to come. Just beyond the valley of the shadow of death, there's a land of perfect peace and rest,
where the saints
of earth shall live and never die. We'll all be caught up in the air, and then we'll enter that city so fair.
So happy we'll be
eternally free
when we're living on the other side. Just beyond the valley of the shadow
of
earth shall live and never die.
We'll
all be caught up in the air, and then we'll enter that city so fair.
So happy we'll be
eternally free
when we're living on the other side.
Are you happy, Randy?
Okay, now talk.
You know, John, I didn't tell you about this, but I traded my guitar for a banjo about a couple months ago.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I'm going to owe some people some songs because we're at the closing time.
And yeah, Rita. Rita,
I owe you a song again. How's that? That song that I just played, was that nice and clear?
No.
Yeah, we can do that good.
Yeah, that came from my file. That didn't come from YouTube. That came from my own.
It sounded clear.
Yeah.
It was good. Very clear.
So the problem is YouTube. Whatever's going on, it's breaking up. Okay. All right, Rita. So, I won't see you tomorrow. Saturday. You're first up for a song, all right?
Yeah, and a prayer too.
Oh, I tell you what.
Yeah,
lead us in prayer till the end, okay?
Okay, I will.
Yeah, all right, Rita,
Okay, Father, I give you thanks for today, Father, and I give you thanks for yesterday, Father. You allowed me, my tooth needed to be fixed, and you made the appointment. You made the appointment sooner than having me wait 2.5 months for my tooth to get filled, Father. And I give you thanks for this, Father. For I feel blessed by you, Father. And I give you thanks. And I give you thanks for today, Father. Father, I pray for Nancy. I pray that you will continue to heal her. And I give you thanks that she's doing much better, that she seems to be doing good. And continue to heal her, Father, and strengthen her heart and comfort her, Father. And I pray for Sharon, Father. I pray that you will also heal Sharon, that you will give her strength to her legs to walk, and that you will also strengthen her heart and encourage her heart. And I also pray for Randy and Gigi that you would heal them from the infection that they are facing, and that you would guide and direct them, Father, to the right doctors, and that the treatments that they take will benefit them greatly, Father. And I also pray for Chaplain John, that you would also guide and direct him in all that he says and writes. And I pray for the brochures, Father, that you would bless them abundantly.
Thank you, Lord.
That many souls would come to know your Son as their Savior from reading those brochures, and that many hearts would be healed by reading them. And Father, I pray for America. Father, America needs your healing power on it. We are just a mess, Father. We need a revival in America, Father. We need your healing in America, Father. And I pray for the Christians in America, Father, that you convict hearts of being lukewarm, Father, but that they will not be lukewarm, but that they will love your Son with all their hearts, soul, and mind. And I pray this for President Trump too, Father, that he'll love your Son with every part of his being.
Amen.
And that you will guide and direct him, Father, in the way that you would have him to go. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for Israel, for DF, Father. I pray for these young men and women that are out there risking their lives for their country. I pray for the salvation of their soul, that they will come to know your Son as their Savior. And for Netanyahu, Father, I pray for the salvation of his soul if he does not know you. And I pray that he will direct Israel in the way that you would have him direct Israel, Father. And I pray for all the Abba, Father, pastors, Abba, Father, fellowship pastors, Father, that you will bless them, guide and direct them, Father, in the way that you would have them to go. And also bless their churches and their people, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would provide food, housing. And, Father, I also pray for the people in North and South Carolina that you would also provide just the basic needs, the food, the water, the housing, and the clothing, Father. And the people that are still living in tents, Father, that you would give them better housing than what they are living in now, that they will go through the winter with a more substantial housing. And, Father, again, I pray for America, that we would turn away from our wicked ways, Father.
Amen.
And I pray for everyone that is online and in the chat room. I pray for us, Father, that we will not be lukewarm for you, but that we would love you and your Son with all our whole being, with our whole mind, soul, and heart, Father, and strengthen each and every one of us, Father. For I pray this in the glorious and glorious name and holy name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning we have prayer, 10 a.m. Eastern, but no streaming on Friday night. You have to call in 717-409-5553. Then Saturday we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's, we all love Saturday nights. It's been a tremendous blessing. So everybody's welcome. God bless you, and remember to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.